Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.
Off the ball. GAA.
Well, I'm hooked, Tommy. I'm going to the final with you. I'm a Dingo man. I'm going to try and get myself a jersey or at least a hat, bobble hat. Dingo won me heart on Saturday.
Did they?
Oh, okay. Big time.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball daily.
Good evening. You're welcome along to Thursday night's Off the Ball. Cameron Hill is here for the news round. Hello, Cameron.
Hello, folks. How are we?
Very well. And Dion Fanning's coming for the build up to Arsenal Liverpool as well. Hello, Dion.
Hi, Owen. How are you?
Very well. So you came in to the studio into the office today saying this game is going to be called off.
I did.
Storm Goretti is going to ruin all the fun.
Well, no. A friend of mine in London texted this, and then another friend on the WhatsApp group who's also in London said it's a light drizzle. Relax, everyone. Calm down. But I think parts of Britain, parts of England are red weather warnings. But the Premier League has its own weather warning system.
It does. I did see the Arsenal Twitterati engage in some panicked conversation earlier where apparently one of the key tenets of Arteta's game plan is quote-unquote ball speed. So the ball speed is going to be impacted by whatever the red weather warning is going to bring tonight. So
people wonder why Arsenal aren't loved.
Liverpool 1-0 up, basically. Let's bring you the team news first off. Arsenal going with an 11 with Raya in goal. Back four of Timber, Saliba, Gabriel and Incapié. So still no Calafiori for Arsenal tonight. Zubimendi, Odegaard and Rice in midfield behind Saka, Gyökeres and Trossard. There's no Kai Havertz in the squad either tonight for Arsenal, who has been seen back in training. For Liverpool, no Isak, as we know, no Salah, as we know, and no Hugo Ekitike. That was looking like it might be a possibility again if you're looking at Twitter in the middle of an afternoon that he might play tonight, but he's not in the squad. It's Alisson in goal, a back four of Bradley, Van Dijk, Konate and Kerkez, Gravenberch, McAllister and Szoboszlai in midfield behind Frimpong, Gakpo and Wirtz. What are you expecting from this tonight, Dion?
A 2-0 Arsenal victory.
Okay. Assured, steady.
Comfortable, but not... I think Liverpool, in their recent run, have just kind of acquired an ability just not to... for nothing spectacularly bad to happen, basically. And I think they'll just manage to contain Arsenal, and Arsenal will be happy. We know what... You know, okay, the occasional game, like the Villa game, where they completely go for it. But I think Arsenal will be very happy with a 2-0 win. And Liverpool will be, Slot will be able to spin that. And he is entirely in the game of spin now, Arne Slot. He's not, everything he's saying is just a self-justification.
You think he's a dead man walking?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing inspires confidence like damage imitation, right?
No, and this is everything, like it's the stuff he's saying, everything he says actually reveals him to be the kind of coach he's insisting he isn't. So when he says he's an attacking coach and he believes in attacking football, and then he says something outlandish like, I wish I could play with, I'd love to, play with eight attackers, but that's not possible. Nobody thinks an attacking coach would play with eight attackers. So to put that out there as a kind of, as a sort of example of how attacking you are, is actually saying, well, I'm not really attacking at all, because that's a preposterous idea. So my idea is, any ideas about attacking are kind of preposterous to my mind. And he's revealed himself, I think, over the last while as sort of fearful coach. And he doesn't really know how to get the best out of his team, doesn't know what to do with the team. And I think now you even see each team selection, it's kind of a response to what people have been saying. What he's trying to do. So he's won He's got one fewer midfielder in the team today because the criticism was he was playing too many midfielders. But he doesn't seem to think there's any problem with that until somebody says it, because you know the game, the team he picked against Fulham played exactly as you would have expected a team that team to play. So it's not, there wasn't any surprises there. So the time to make the change, the time to play with one less midfielder, was actually against Fulham. But the response to that has been so great that now he said, right, I'll put Frimpong in and drop Jones.
Is the case not that we've seen Liverpool end up in this style of play, this fairly unadventurous style of play, because they were in a full-blown crisis where they had to batten down the hatches. They had to just stop the rot. If that means suffering a few draws, quite a few draws, in fact, that would be an acceptable outcome in the short term, and then build from a place where at least you're not like losing every single game that you're playing.
But I don't think it hasn't really helped, has it? Like, it hasn't, like, okay, they haven't had that full-blown crisis, but that sense, nobody can see anything in this where, and nobody can see anything in this where it's actually, okay, this is what they're building towards. This is what they're thinking of. Like, Slot is talking about how he's always been a 4-3-3 person, but now he's had to play midfielders because of the injuries they have and this kind of thing. But the players they bought, nobody, like, what he said and the players they bought, and like, this is something we'll probably talk about later in terms of other clubs as well. The players they bought weren't bought to fit into a 4-3-3 system. Like, if you buy Ekitike and Isak, you're not playing 4-3-3. So there's all these little moments. And when those players were all available, even though Isak had to do his pre-season, they weren't playing. Like, there was just a muddle of a system. He tried to play Wirtz in the midfield first, and then when that wasn't working, he's been moved out. He's been moved out wide, and that's altered the system, and that's changed things. But these are pretty predictable problems. Like, you know, when you sign Wirtz, like, okay, is he going to be able to play in one of the three in midfield in the Premier League? Coming from, but like, that's a big gap. And what are we going to do? And what's our plan B if it doesn't work? Like, our plan B is, my God, I don't know what to do now.
So he hasn't been able to play in midfield. And as we've seen in the team sheet tonight, he's going to be playing in the front three, as he's done at times over the last couple of weeks. So he tried the midfield thing. He tried the number 10 thing with Wirtz. It didn't really work.
But he's playing. Wirtz is playing well. Like, Wirtz hasn't been bad for Liverpool. Especially recent weeks, he's been pretty good. I still think he lacks a little bit of real personality and determination and drive to make things happen. But he's been very good. He's the only Liverpool player at the moment who you think can actually make something happen. When he's not on the field, it's like nothing is going to happen. So he is, like, that's quite a lot in fairness to him. But the point is that when it didn't work, when the thing you could quite have anticipated, or you would surely have flagged, will Florian Wirtz be able to play as one of a midfield three in the Premier League coming from the Bundesliga? What do we do if he can't? And what we do if we can't is panic. We don't know what to do. Tear up the system, back to basics, all these things that the people have been calling them to do. They've done all that, and it's... And it hasn't worked. Like, this back to basics idea that was the thing that was floated when they were going through their kind of catastrophic spell against tough opposition. They've had an unbeaten run with a lot of draws against teams that you should be beating. So who knows what would happen anyway? But that back to basics was meant to be some sort of sense where you would actually see a regrouping. Liverpool are as vulnerable as they've ever been. They can see goals as easily as ever. They don't have any, like, whatever the back to basics meant, what would you think it means? You would think it means, right, we don't concede goals, we defend well, we defend strongly, we're hard to beat. Liverpool aren't they're getting draws, but I wouldn't categorize them as hard to beat.
No,
like, hard to score against.
Like, I definitely lean into the idea a little bit that they also have not had the rub of the green in certain instances. Like, I think they come away from the Fulham game at the weekend with a little bit of credit. If that's a 2-1 win, scratchy win, Cody Gakpo comes off a hero, he's got the winner, and it just so happens that they concede the goal of the season. I think we might be framing this week a little bit differently had at least that gone differently for them? Because then you're pointing to the three attackers that they're missing.
None of these games, every game they're playing is still within that that margin of one freak event. And if it's not that, and I agree with you. I kind of felt sorry for Slot when he made like the archetypal Slot substitution, which is get a defender on. We'll defend. We need somebody to defend the long throw that's inevitable now. And then they take a short throw, and he scores the greatest goal he'll ever score in his life. So there are moments when you can feel sorry for him and that. But at the same time, if Liverpool are really where they're supposed to be, they're 2 or 3 nil up in that game, and it doesn't matter. But they're every game leads away. They concede 2 goals every game. They're always within. Teams can always pin them back and get back into the game against them, and that's the problem they have. And they've never looked convincing or authoritative in terms of closing out a game.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
Our text number is 0879 180 180. If you want to drop us a WhatsApp, I'll get to a few of them, but you've got both managers for us ahead of tonight, Cameron.
Yes, as we've mentioned, a meeting of the league leaders and defending champions in the Premier League's only game tonight, Arsenal against Liverpool at the Emirates Stadium. The Gunners can open up an 8-point gap at the top of the table if they win tonight. Manager Mikel Arteta is looking for a statement performance from his players this evening, but stresses that there are no chances for them to take their foot off the gas this season.
We can go again and again. I mean, every week we have a point to prove. We had it a few days ago against Bournemouth after a great win against Villa, and it's going to continue like that till May. And we know that, because once we're in the position that we are in, we want to maintain and extend the lead that we have. And in order to do that, our level of determination and desire has to be with that mindset.
Mikel Arteta speaking there. Are we saying that right now the title is not done, but you'll be of a mind that it is finished if they go 8 points clear tonight? Are we being that definitive about it?
It would be very hard to argue against it. I think there is a question mark, even with Arsenal, as good as they've been and are as solid and as convincing as they've been this season, there is that question mark about whether they feel some... if they feel some sort of pressure. But to feel some sort of pressure, they need to be put under some sort of pressure. And at the moment, there's nobody to put them under any pressure.
See, that's the thing. Like, when you look at other sides who have had, say, a 6-point cushion at this stage of the season, but finish runner-up, like you have the Manchester United example in 1998 when Arsenal get back and actually win that league. Newcastle and Liverpool, obviously Newcastle very famously 95-96, but Liverpool in 2018-19 could be an interesting reference point here, because Manchester City were so bloody good in the second half of the season, and you're just not seeing that from City at the moment.
No, you're not, and you don't see, but again, Arsenal had their little, like, it doesn't take much at the same time for, you know, a few draws when a team wins 4 or 5 in a row, excuse me, it can change a little bit, but at the moment City don't look like they can do that. You know, again, against Brighton, they weren't convincing. They had some chances, but Brighton were in that game, and again, just that sense of not being able to finish it, close it out, is going to count against them. Whereas Arsenal, like, the strengths they have, and I don't find them a very attractive team to watch, and I'm not mad on Arteta and how he manages the team, but he manages the team fine. But I think in terms of getting virtues out of things that maybe in the past weren't virtues of Arsenal's, he's done a great job of it.
What rubs you up the wrong way about Arteta?
Ah, come on.
Lovely guy.
Educate us here.
Well, yeah, just, you know,
what are you saying that the rest of us aren't?
Just the constant, you know, like the latest thing, obviously, is the kind of, you know, his kind of interference on the sideline. You know, and Richard Keys was onto this a long time ago, as usual. But you know that stuff, the sort of paranoia, which again is natural enough for managers. Like it's not. It's not, you know, but and various and then of course, you know, when we get to the kind of gimmicks and the various different little, I'm looking forward now to what he might roll out over the next few months.
Do you not have a silhouetted Premier League trophy in your like house now if you come in the door?
No, or have people, you know, pickpocket me?
Yeah,
just to keep me on my guard. Yeah. You know, that's
you never know how your life would have turned out had you hired those fake pickpockets. You could have gone to the moon.
Yeah, true.
Give us some Arna Slot then, Cameron.
Yeah, so they head to North London 14 points adrift of their opponents this evening. Unbeaten in 9 in all competitions, but have begun 2026 with lacklustre draws against Leeds and Fulham. Slot was asked about his team being dull and boring in yesterday's pre-match press conference and admits it's not an unfair characterisation.
I find it really hard to hear, but it's not that I completely disagree. I would use different words and I would take certain things into account. I want to win as much trophies as I can, but I think I'm also known for the fact that my teams always try to play attacking football, and I can only say that we are still trying to do so, but we are struggling to create a lot of chances. But I don't like to hear this, of course, because if there's one thing I would like is us winning a lot of games, but also us playing an attractive style of football, which I think we've also done this season. We have to find a way against teams that try to make it not an attractive game. We have to find answers to that, and that's something we haven't found enough yet. But we are working on that every single day to improve that.
Right, we shall move on to some transfer business in the League of Ireland, Cameron.
Well, Shamrock Rovers have tonight confirmed the signing of winger Jake Mulroney from St. Pat's. That was a move flagged on yesterday's news round. The 29-year-old scored 19 goals in 120 appearances for the Saints. He's Rovers' first signing ahead of the 2026 Premier Division season. Going the other way is midfielder Darren Nugent. He's leaving the defending league champions for Richmond Park. Shelburne captain Mark Coyle is leaving Tolka Park for NIFL side Coleraine on a 2.5-year deal. He joined the Reds from Finn Harps in 2022 and was skipper as they claimed a first Premier Division title in 18 years back in 2024. He's going to link up with ex-Derry City boss Rory Higgins at the Bansiders, and Bohemians have added Republic of Ireland under 21 international Harry Vaughan to their squad for the coming season. He's heading to Dalyman Park on a loan deal from Hull City until the end of June.
Loads of chat coming in around Liverpool. Wishful thinking as a Liverpool fan that the game would be called off, says one texter to our WhatsApp number. So John is saying it's going to be a nil-all draw. Patrick wants to talk about Newcastle and Manchester United. Great result for Arsenal last night. Disaster for United, but a great win for Newcastle. Leo then on Chelsea says the sole reason that that Lee Moore Senior is Chelsea manager is because his name rhymes with Dream Believer and the potential for epic chance are off the charts. And Kieran says Keith Andrews is doing some job, but Quivian Kelleher is starting to enter the realm of some of the best goalkeepers on the planet. Fantastic player. He's not wrong, Kieran.
Yeah, no, he's incredible now. And that penalty save, just the nonchalance of what he did it as well was fantastic. He's really... Brentford are like, I don't think, and I know they had the little wobble, and we Brentford fans were getting up. There was a moment when they looked like they were about to turn again, and you know there is a long way to go in this season, but it's been a great job. Keith Andrews really has.
You never come across as the villain when you save a Panenka, right?
No,
it's like it's 50 years this year, I think, since the Panenka first.
That's right, 1976, yeah,
first happened. But when someone tries that and a goalkeeper saves it, they always come off better. It's like none of that nonsense.
Yeah, but he just seemed that it wasn't even something that he considered anything else was going to happen. That was the thing. It was done so smoothly. But he's an exceptional goalkeeper.
Is it seen as a slight to a goalkeeper? Because like he gave the thumbs up to Enzo Lefebvre last night as he was coming out with the ball. Is it seen as like you tried to
like
make a mockery
like,
of me?
Yeah, possibly. Like it's probably, yeah, it's something that I imagine it is. I imagine a goalkeeper feels a little bit humiliated if he falls for a Panenka, but or not humiliated, but you know he's lost some sort of mind game.
Or
and So he came out on top there, but no, they're really, it's an exception. And that was a great result for them.
Just one other piece of football news before we get to the next section of your news round is that Terry Yorath has passed away at the age of 75 after a short illness. People who were watching Match of the Day last night would have seen Gabby Logan having to leave because of a family emergency, and sadly her father has passed away. Obviously we would have heard loads about Yorath down through the years, talking to John Giles on Thursday nights, part of Don Revie's Leeds team in the 1970s, and the first Welshman to play in the European Cup final. So 59 caps for Wales, 42 as a captain, and as a manager, obviously bringing them to the verge of qualification for the 1994 World Cup finals before Romania beat them in a playoff. Do we talk about Richard Keys' tweets this evening? I mean, it feels that like the Yorath thing, that's all anybody's talking about. So, I mean, his tribute, in inverted commas, online, he says, sad to hear the news of Terry Yorath's passing. He was a warrior and won fans over wherever he played. He was great for us at Coventry, and the reason I got Gabby a job at Sky, I had no idea who she was when we met, but I knew her dad. R.I.P. Terry, your daughter did you proud. And then a few hours later, having realised maybe that tweet was a little bit insensitive, he comes back onto Twitter and says, "What a shame my words for a footballing hero of mine were entirely misinterpreted. Terry Yorath was a fabulous guy, a warrior. My affection for him meant I was more than happy to help him and his family in any way I could. Gabby's career would make any father proud. R.I.P. Terry." Get in there, Richard, and make it all about you.
Yeah, I didn't know about that. I think there's some history there. Between Richard Keys and Gabby Logan, but it is very Richard Keys to make it all about him.
Yeah.
And I think I don't remember Terry Yorath as a player, but I do remember that Leeds team, or that Welsh team that nearly qualified. That was a great Welsh team, really was. And that was one of those heartbreaking but great international evenings, watching that Wales game and watching the wasn't it Bowen missed the penalty,
right?
So that was a great team he managed as well. So it's he was one, and it's funny. I was looking, there was Martin Chivers, a Tottenham player who I didn't, again, before my time. My father would have talked about him. He was a Spurs fan, and you're reaching that stage now where lots of there's colour footage of all these people who are dying in their late 70s and 80s, and it makes it more real that these kind of people who you grew up with, who you heard your parent, in my case, heard my father talking about, and his brothers and stuff like that, and now they're passing away. So it's very, very sad about Terry Yorath and Martin Chivers.
Yeah, for sure. Shall we move on to some Gaelic games today, Cameron? We've got an interesting addition to the Cork Hurlers.
Yeah, Jerry Hussey has joined the Cork Senior Hurlers as their new performance coach for 2026, the Galway man taking over from Gary Keegan, who had been working with the Rebels since 2022. Hussey arrives with a similar professional background to Keegan, having worked with the Irish Olympic boxers in the past. It's understood he will perform a similar role to Caroline Currid, who's been brought back into the Limerick setup for the coming inter-county season. Now, Cork Hurler Owen Downey joined Chair Gilroy and guest co-host Vinnie Perth on this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast. He detailed the work that Hussey has already been doing with the group.
Working really hard with us to create a bond within the team, an unbreakable bond. So, we're trying our hardest as well, to kind of even better ourselves in that bond that we already have. Through a lot of things, really. It could be anything between small little activities together. It could be anything between doing breath work together. It could be anything, really. It's more togetherness than anything, They're scars, but they're scars that could be healed, That's what we're working on with Jerry, and that's what we're going to aim to do, heal the scars and put it behind us.
We have some pre-season action then?
In Leinster tonight, Dublin travel to Wexford for a Walsh Cup quarter-final. Throw-in is at 7:30 in Oulart. The winner will go on to host Westmeath in Sunday's semi-final.
Okay, very good. Yeah, you have something as well on the club action and availability for the senior club final.
Yeah, big boost for St. Bridget's. They expect both Brian Stack and Mark Daly to be available for the club senior football final against Dingle on Sunday week. The pair picked up heavy knocks during last weekend's semi-final win over Scotstown at Breffni Park. But manager Anthony Cunningham says initial concerns around rib and lower back injuries have eased.
Now then, we've heard from Ciara McGeehan.
Yes, she's provided a positive update as she continues her treatment with cancer. The European 1500 metres champion, revealed her diagnosis last July. Posting on Instagram today, the Down native revealed she underwent her 12th round of chemotherapy before Christmas, saying she's continuing to find joy in every day. She also thanked everyone who sent me such kind words of support over the last few months. So good news on that front.
Yeah, it seems really between the lines. It's looking as positive as it can be. Obviously, wish her all the very best. It's such a tough thing for her to go through, and a fairly astonishing story still at this stage. So hopefully all is moving in the right direction for Ciara Mageean. We do have then some cycling news. We've got some boxing news as well.
Yeah, Lara Gillespie will not defend her title at next month's European Track Cycling Championships in Turkey. The Wicklow native, who also won gold in the elimination race at last year's Worlds, has committed to her road cycling team. Cycling Ireland will send a 9-strong contingent to Turkey next month, with Mia Griffin also missing the event for similar reasons. British heavyweight boxer Anthony Joshua says he's finding it tough to process the deaths of two close friends who died in a car crash last month. He survived, but Sina Ghami and Atif Ayodele were killed when the vehicle they were in collided with a stationary truck in Nigeria. Joshua called them his brothers and thanked the public for all the love and care they've shown.
Now, for one reason or another, I've decided to type into Google News England cricket. Harry Brook clashed with nightclub bouncer hours before captaining England. The Ashes, England cricket concern over culture and drinking. Barney Ronay, sack the vibe, goodbye Bazball, and hello England, search for a cricketing soul. What is going on?
Well, this is Harry Brook, who has kind of exemplified Bazball, which, you know, regular razors to my appearances on the news rant will be fully across what Bazball is. I don't need to explain it.
No, I don't need to explain it anymore.
It's basically no consequence sport. It's like, do what you like, and we don't care. We don't care what happens, and we won't hold you accountable for it. And Harry Brook, who is an incredibly exciting player, was involved in an altercation outside a nightclub while England were on tour in New Zealand before the Ashes tour. Now, apparently there was no one else involved. He self-reported the incident, and he's issued a very, abject apology, and how he let the country down and all this kind of stuff. But the problem is that he kind of went, that sense of, he sort of played with that same sense of lack of responsibility right throughout the Ashes series. And even up until the final, now he got out in the final test, which has just concluded, and I have to say I watched an awful lot of this one because I was, for different reasons, I wasn't sleeping well this week, and I was up all night watching a lot of the cricket. And Harry Brook, he was out to a good ball, but he's always taking ridiculous shots, taking a lot of risks, and He was a guy who thrived during the start of Bazball, and now he's kind of the guy on the hook for it. There is also this great thing that is happening, or a classic thing that's happening now, is that everyone who clearly didn't like elements of the whole Bazball culture. You can hear certain commentators and analysts, and there's a lot of very good analysts, but there's a lot of kind of guys who wouldn't have really ever taken to this kind of devil may care stuff. They're really going for it now, and they have also uncovered at the same time, they've uncovered a fantastic young batsman called Jacob Bethel, who scored a century in this test, and he is actually an exceptional player, and born in Barbados, and then left his grandfather played cricket for Barbados, and then he went to school in England. My very good friend of mine's son actually got him out in a cricket match in the under-15s.
What a claim that'll be.
Well, it is. He was doing, when he wasn't getting picked, and there were some doubts about whether I was messaging him saying, you need Bethel really, or your son really needs Bethel now to shine. Your stock is no good if it's like, I got out this guy who never actually played for England. But then he made what many people consider like one of the finest ever maiden test centuries this week. So he's an exceptional player, but he is also being used as kind of a contract. Like people are saying, it's a good job he didn't come along during the peak of Bazball, because he would never have been allowed to play the game he wants to play. So there's a lot of those. It's basically like everything these days, it's turned into a culture war.
Yeah, and it seems like a perfect one. You've got a national kind of hammering, which could have been 5-0 by the sounds of things, but 4-1 will do it. It's against one of your old rivals. There is scandal and there is a singular person to blame for it all as well. Yeah. So it's just absolutely perfect for the English press to get their teeth sunk into over the next little while. Dion, thank you for that. With the Ashes over, I don't know what we'll talk about next week, but hopefully...
Gotta get into darts.
Yeah, that's it.
That's our Thursday fair.
As I say, you will be back with us for the football show from 9 o'clock as we get into the meet and drink around the Emirates this evening. It's going to be Arsenal versus Liverpool at an 8 o'clock kickoff.
Off the Ball Daily.